بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My brothers and sisters, tonight's topic we have entitled it Religious Roller Coaster. And the reason we named it this title is because it's one of the biggest challenges for all of us, young and old, practicing our deen is sometimes a big challenge. Other times we do so well, and then other times we're almost about to hit rock bottom. Then we get back up, then we fall again. Some of us, it's our temptations, especially young people. Others, it's ideologies that hit them left, right, and center. Sometimes it's our family problems, our own problems that we're facing in our lives that debilitate us. Sometimes it's friends, peer pressure. Other times it's just us. We get overwhelmed. Sometimes it's our families, our children, our studies, our work. Life is full of challenges. And we all want to get better. We all want to get closer to Allah. And we all complain sometimes. I want my iman to be high, at a consistent high. And that's so beautiful when people say that. When they come to me and say, I want my iman to be high. I wish I could give you a gem of a potion that you can take. But when you ask that question, that is a sign that you have iman alive in your heart, inshallah. Regardless of the challenges around you. So what prompted me to give this talk today, a little while ago, a young man approached me and he said to me, I'm struggling. I do sins by night and they just keep haunting me. I can't get rid of them. I try and I fall. And here I am, I get involved in religious and community events and I advise people and I haven't felt more hypocritical about myself. How can I, from one angle, in secret and in private, do things that I am burdening myself with and I know that I have to face Allah with, and from another angle, I take part in religious events and I talk to people about deen. And then he started to cry. Now he's not the only one, of course. I have these come to me and go all the time. So, and I was once there as well, and sometimes I'm there now. We all fall into it. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, is that it is part of life and it is deliberate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that part of the tests that he gives us is also tests facing sins. Did you know that? Did you know that Allah tests us with sins? And his sins come to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with them so that we can grow. But the beautiful sign and the most amazing thing to remember is that when you are not comfortable with sins, maybe you might be comfortable at the time that you sin, but if after it, you regret, you don't feel good about it, and then you fall again, and then you get up and you regret and you fall again. The fact that you're feeling like that, alhamdulillah, is an amazing sign. Yes, you and I need to work on ourselves. But the fact that you don't feel comfortable with it and complacent with it, and the fact that you don't let the shaitan stop you from continuing your other good work, inshallah, you are on a right path. In fact, listen to what Allah says about who a true believer is. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم in Surah Al-Anfal, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا
إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
Allah says, as a matter of fact, the true believers are the ones, and when they are reminded about Allah, when they are reminded about Allah, and when His verses are recited upon them, they come to a class, they read the Quran, they open up on social media and they have, mashallah, an algorithm of ayat of Quran that come to them. Someone reminds them, they remember their sins, they remember themselves. And then what happens to them? Allah says, their hearts begin to shiver. And you can see it on their face, like this young man who cried. And their iman increases immediately on the spot. They feel a heightened force inside of them that makes them feel close to Allah in the form of this shivering. Sometimes a cry, sometimes you feel goosebumps. Sometimes you take a breath and you close your eyes. These are all signs that when you heard Allah's verses and when Allah is mentioned to you, it shows you have iman that is alive in you. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they keep their trust in Allah. A lot of us, when we hear about the word they keep their trust in Allah, we think about when things go wrong in our life. But that, did you know that keeping your trust in Allah is also when you are faced with sins that debilitate you sometimes, but you keep your positive attitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you keep trying your best and not giving up on Allah, and you don't give up on your other good deeds just because you're doing a few sins, because you rely on Allah. That's also part of trusting in Allah. Because the shaitan is always there whispering to you that you are a hypocrite, to stop you. He doesn't settle with you just stopping one or two things. He will keep going at it if he can to whisper to you to become a disbeliever completely. But the shaitan has no power over you except whispers. And we remind one another. Always have those friends that remind you. Keep coming to the masjid. Keep fighting your urges of not going and meeting and sitting with people who will remind you of Allah. And inshallah, you will stay aware. So my brothers and sisters, we said that sins are sometimes a test for a believer as he or she struggles with them till they overcome them. Then the next sin comes along. Then the next sin comes along. Listen to what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. He said, there isn't a single servant who is a believer, a mu'min, a believer. We're talking about believers here. Except that they have a sin which they are struggling with. The sin comes to them and visits them every single time and they wrestle with it. Some have bigger sins, some have smaller sins. And some are stronger than the sin, some a bit weaker until they wrestle and overcome it. Al-fayna taba'ad al-fayna, every now and then. Or, Rasulullah said, sometimes they have this particular sin that just doesn't leave them. Until they leave this world. And then he said, a true believer is always subjected to tests and trials. And a true believer, when they're subjected to tests and trials, they're constantly repenting. They're always coming back to Allah, say, my Lord, forgive me, I won't do it again. Then they fall again. Then they try again, and they try again. But they don't just stay where they are. Nasiya, and is also forgetful. But when he or she is reminded, they respond to the reminder. The hadith is in Tabarani, authenticated by Imam Al-Albani. What does this hadith mean? So that you don't get the wrong idea, brothers and sisters, I am not telling you to feel happy about your sin. We're not here to make you feel comfortable and say, well, since that hadith has been said to me, that means I'm okay. You just made me feel better. I hope I made you feel better, but not in the wrong way. I want you to feel better in the sense that it's not all gloom and doom. Don't let the sin debilitate you. Continue with your good work, but work to try and get out of it. I'm not telling you so long as you do good deeds, just stay where you are with that sin. No, you've got to try and get out of it. What he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the believer is never the believer is never comfortable with a repetitive sin. So he or she then regrets, then they give in, then they overcome, then they forget, then they fall again, then they regret, then they overcome, then they fall again and forget, then they overcome, then they forget, like that. And a beautiful hadith from Prophet ﷺ, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, he says, on the day of judgment, a believer will be called by Allah, a believer meaning any believer, it might be you, it might be me. And Allah will say to them by name, he'll tell his angels to call them, call so and so. And then you look up and you have to go to where? To a place. Allah says, then he says to you, my servant, come closer. This is a side thing that happens on the day of judgment to people. Come closer. Udnu minni. Until Rasulullah said, فَيَضَعُ عَلَيْهِكَ نَفَهُ. Allah places his veil over him or her. What is this veil? We don't know what it looks like, but it's something that covers you from the rest of the eyes of the other people. And no one can hear the conversation. Allah wants to say something to you in secret, but he doesn't want to embarrass you. That's the meaning of the hadith. وَيَسْتُرُهُ. He covers him. Then he says to that person, Allah says that to you, without any interpreter between you and Allah. In another hadith says, مِنْ غَيْرِ تُرْجِمَانٍ. With no interpreter. Do you remember when you did such and such a sin? Remember that? Remember the other day? Remember on that date? Remember that time? Remember there? Remember over there? Remember over there? He reminds you of all these sins which have not yet been revealed. And the person says, yes, my Lord, until he admits and he starts to beg and regret about his sins. And he starts to think that I am doomed. I'm going to hellfire. And then Allah says to him or her, every time he mentions their sin, says, I kept it a secret and covered you in your former life. Nobody knew about it but you and me. And today I will continue to cover it. I will forgive it. The word forgiveness, ghafara, means to cover. It's there, but Allah will cover it. Nobody will see it. It's written in your book, but Allah may cover it. طيب. What else? Then his book is given to him in his right, and his good deeds, and the sins are forgotten. As for the disbeliever and the hypocrite, then he will be called in front of everybody, and their sins and evil and criminal work will be made public in front of everybody. And it will be said, the curse of Allah is upon the oppressors, those who oppress themselves and oppress others. Brothers and sisters, this means that these are the people who believed in Allah. They did their obligations. You did your 5 daily prayers. You used to fast your Ramadan. You used to give your zakah. You stayed away from the major sins. And when you fell into them, you repented. And then there were little minor sins that you kept doing over and over. But you were embarrassed about them. And you didn't want to tell people about them. And you left them between you and Allah. Allah then acknowledges that. And he says, today I'll cover it up for you. Don't worry. It doesn't mean that you continue these sins and say, I'm okay with them. It means this is a person who never felt comfortable with them and was always trying to do good deeds to cover up, to try and compensate. Like the story I gave you about the young man. As for the hypocrite, who is a hypocrite? They're the people who don't care at all about the sins they're doing. They don't give a damn. They're indifferent. In fact, when you speak to them, they say, get out of here, then. What are you talking to me about sins? So what? I pray, I fast. So what if I have a girlfriend or boyfriend? So what if I do this haram or halal or these things? So what if I look at other people, they do worse than me. If you want to know whether you're on the verge of hypocrisy or not, it's like this. This is the sign. We always find someone worse than us to make ourselves feel better. And a person who is not on the verge of hypocrisy will always look at those who are doing better religiously and say, I aim and aspire to be like that. The opposite says to you, yeah, so what? At least I don't take drugs like so-and-so. The guy who takes drugs, you go to him, and this is what they say. They're even more hypocrites. They go, yeah, I take drugs, but at least I don't sell it like so-and-so. You go to the guy who sells it, says, yeah, I sell it, but at least I don't give it to kids like so-and-so. I'm not that bad. They're always finding someone worse till they get to a serial killer and the rest and the other. There's always someone worse, right? Is that how a believer aspires to? This is a sign of the verge of hypocrisy. This is not a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to cover up for. This is a person who doesn't care. They've already exposed themselves. They feel good about their sin. They try to justify it. They'll just debate and say, yeah, I'm okay. What's the problem? Some of them even make social media clips and they try to twist the words of the Quran and the teachings of Islam to try and teach people their own version so they can feel better about their sin. Some people want money for it. Some people want fame for it. Allah, on the day of judgment, Allah is going to expose this person even worse because the person chose that life for themselves. But the person who is embarrassed about it and is trying to get better, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that for that person, covers it up in this world, will not expose you here and will not expose you there either. Which one do you want to be? We say these things, brothers and sisters, to help us, all of us, to work together, inshallah, and remind one another so we can keep on steadfast. My brothers and sisters, I have you know this. Iman, faith. If you're worried when your faith goes down and up, then know that this is very normal. Iman, it goes up and down throughout your life. It is a consensus among our scholars, past and present, that Iman has its highs and has its lows. So don't be shocked and become too scared and fearful at a time when you feel your Iman is a little bit low. Inshallah, it'll go up again. But you've got to keep working on it. Don't just stay there. So Iman rises and falls in our life. It fluctuates. And Iman is to believe in Allah firmly in your heart. Not make any partners with Allah or love anyone above Allah in your heart. To trust in Allah and not to trust in anyone more than Allah. To believe in Allah's words and in your heart, no one else's words is above Allah. In your heart, you don't make any partners with Allah. Number two, you say it with your mouth and you acknowledge it. Even if it's something that your nafs, your ego is not happy with. But your iman tells you, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey it even if I don't like it. And with your actions, you show it. And you fall sometimes and you repent. This iman rises and falls. Sometimes your words won't be as, you won't say too many remembering words. Sometimes your actions may be a little bit more sinful. Other times they're a bit more worshipping. This is how you see your iman rising and falling. What really makes the difference is your heart. And what makes the difference, remember this. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, when your iman, you feel it low, make sure that you do not pass the red line. What is the red line? The red line, put it in your heads. This is something we have to decide on. That you do not pass below the red line, which is the obligations which Allah made upon you and me. What are the obligations? 5 daily prayers, fasting Ramadan, your zakah, going to Hajj once in your lifetime for whoever is able to do so. All the commandments and the obligations that Allah placed on men and the obligations He placed on women. And you know what they are. And He said, when your iman is high, utilize that opportunity to do extra voluntary good deeds. Why does he say that? It's all about the heart. The heart needs cleansing. The heart needs reminders. And when you do good deeds, when your iman is high, it's kind of like an investment. You give your heart a head start. You're not always on the edge. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulallah, muttafaq alayh, it's agreed upon in Bukhari and Muslim. He was from the Bedouins and he had a loud voice and his hair was scruffy. He had been traveling. He's seeking guidance. He heard about the Prophet ﷺ. He comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he intercepts everybody. And he's got a loud voice from the Bedouin and says, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Rasulallah. Everybody went quiet. Prophet ﷺ gave him some time. He said to him, tell me what I need to enter paradise. What are my obligations? Rasul ﷺ said to him to pray 5 daily prayers. 5. Not 4, 5. He said, what if I do more? He said, whatever you do more than that is from your own choice. If you do them, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do those extra than the 5, you won't be punished. He said, what's next? He said, you pay your zakah. He said, what if I do more than that? He said, if you do more than that, it's your own choice. What else? He said, to fast the month of Ramadan. He says, what if I do more than that? He said, it's your own choice. And then the Prophet ﷺ told him the rest of the obligatory acts of Sharia that he's supposed to do and the major sins he's supposed to stay away from. Then he said, thank you. He got up and he said, by the one who sent you in truth, I will not add a single extra to these obligations and I will not do any less. Not going to do any more. No voluntary stuff, no choices, nothing. Not more than the 5 daily prayers. I'm not going to do the sunnahs. I'm not going to do the nafil. I'm not going to do the duhas and everything else. Fasting Ramadan, I will not go and do one day on, one day off, and Mondays and Thursdays. I'm not doing any of that. Zakat, I'm not doing any sadaqah, just the zakat. And my hajj, that's all, just once. And so on. Then he left. He just walked off. Sahabas are looking, they want the answer from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're always looking for hope. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aflaha al-A'rabiyu in sadaq. Oh, if he's honest and truthful to what he said, he has succeeded. Meaning he will enter paradise. He will not go to hellfire. He will not be punished. Now, why did the Prophet ﷺ say that? If you can stick to the obligations and stay away from the major sins and repent if you do them, you will not go to hellfire. You will not be punished. You are successful. But at the same time, if you stick to them, your heart is naturally going to get better. It's almost impossible throughout your life from not improving. Anybody who does the obligations, you're going to improve. But telling him that right there and then, he's not going to get it logically. So when the Bedouin went and practiced like the rest of the companions, naturally as he aged, he got better and better and better. So start with the obligations. Allah says in the Quran, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah will never burden a single person with more obligations than what is within their capacity. A lot of people misunderstand that verse. They think that you will not go through a trial and suffering beyond what you can handle. That is not the correct interpretation. You will certainly go through trials, sicknesses, and tests around your life. Some people will oppress you, and some things will happen to you beyond your ability to control. Some people die in the end of it. You couldn't handle it. That's not the meaning of the verse. The meaning of the verse is, in the times of hardships, and within your capacity, Allah does not hold you accountable for more than what you could handle. Again, no matter what happens to you in life, anything beyond your ability, Allah will not hold you accountable to it. So for example, if you got sick and your sickness got so bad that you couldn't even get up, Will Allah still expect from you to stand up in prayer? No. Because that's not within your capacity anymore. Allah will look at your state and say, he is sick or she is sick. I don't expect from them anything beyond that. So what do? Pray while sitting down. You can't sit down? Allah says, okay. What can you do? Pray lying down. Oh, I can't get to the water. I don't have anyone to help me. That's okay. You have a piece of rock? Do tayammum. You don't have a piece of rock? That's okay. Just act like you're doing wudu. Oh, you're blind and you can't move. Pray in your head. Imagine it. You're in a state of necessity. The only food available for your survival is haram food. Eat what you need. Allah will not hold you accountable because you don't have any other food. A person is in a situation where it's beyond their control to pray at that time, completely beyond your control. That's okay, pray when you can. You were sleeping. You wanted to wake up to pray your fajr, but you slept in accidentally. That's okay, pray when you wake up. You sincerely forgot within your capacity, when you remember. You see, that's what it means within your capacity. What is within your capacity? So Allah does not hold you accountable beyond your ability. Brothers and sisters, some people, they assume that iman just means to say la ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Some people say it with their mouth, but their heart is lying. Saying la ilaha illallah has its conditions. You have to be sincere about it and not make partners with Allah. And some people even say, oh, what about the hadith which says, whoever's last words are la ilaha illallah will enter paradise. They take it literal. They say, oh, it means that when that person dies, at the time that they're dying, if they say the shahada, that means they're going to paradise. Okay. It is a sign, a good sign of that person's iman. But what if that person just said the shahada, but really inside their heart, they don't believe in it? Will that person go to paradise? No. It happened to me once. I remember one person who we tried, you know, used to always ask us about Islam. Good friend of mine. Was a neighbor. And then they passed away. And then I heard afterwards, when they said the shahada in front of me, and then afterwards their children said, no, they were just saying it just to make you happy. Now, I don't know what their intention is, but if their intention was just to make me happy, their last word is not la ilaha illallah. It has to be khalisan, from the heart. And if their intention was true and they're just trying to make their children happy, but they were sincere, then inshallah, they will go to paradise. And also the other meaning of la ilaha illallah before you die, it means that you lived upon it. Doesn't mean necessarily your last word has to be the shahada. Some people, their last action is tawbah, repentance. Some people, their last action is Quran. Their last action is helping someone. Their last action is charity. The last action is something good that Allah loves, and they die upon it, and not necessarily having their word to say la ilaha illallah. That's the same thing. But one of the signs is saying la ilaha illallah. So why did I say that? I wanted to say it, brothers and sisters, because some people, they misunderstand what iman means. They see it's just with the tongue and not in the heart. No, he has to have the heart and the tongue as well, inshallah ta'ala. And the opposite is true. Some people, they may not be able to say la ilaha illallah, but they do believe it. And if they have the opportunity to say it, they'll say it. Then inshallah, this is also a good sign. Some people, they want to convert someone on the spot or their friend. So they trick them. They say la ilaha illallah. And they don't know what they're saying. So they go, la ilaha illallah. They go, he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim, everyone. They don't know what they're saying. If you don't know what you're saying, it's not really the la ilaha illallah. So don't do these tricks, inshallah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, let's move on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was careful to teach us not to overburden ourselves with good deeds, not to overburden ourselves with worship. Some people, the problem is that they want to do the entire religion all at once. Some of them, they want to be the highest in rewards. And what they do is they try to do more than what they can handle, and then they lose out. They lose out of steam. They start to give up. Well, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was approached by a man one day. And this man said, O Messenger of Allah, the practices of Islam have become too many for me to be consistent on. I'm overwhelmed. I can't handle it. It's too much. Inform me of some small act which I can stick to and be consistent with. I can't do all this stuff. It's too much. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. Keep your tongue moist with what? The remembrance of Allah. What does that mean? It means you don't have to go and do all these extra actions of good deeds night and day. They're going to exhaust you. But I'm going to give you something better than it all. And it's easy for you and you can do it all the time. Just get yourself into the habit of saying words when you walk away, when you come, when you drive, when you go to work, when you go to the masjid, when you go home, when you're about to sleep, when you're wearing your clothes, anything, what you're doing, you're about to eat. Just get your tongue used to dhikr. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, tabarakallah, subhanallah, wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim, alhamdulillah. If you don't know many other words, just say what you know. Just something, remembering Allah all the time. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Get your tongue used to these words. They are consistent. You can do them anytime. You don't need wudu for them. You don't need to be dressed in your hijab if you're a sister. You don't need to be dressed in a certain way. You don't have to be in the mosque. Easy. You can be sitting, standing, lying down. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah when they're standing, sitting and on their sides. You can be on your stomach, on your side, lying down, in any situation, with your legs up. Make dhikr. There is no boundary to it. And you can be consistent on doing that. Take a break, do your dhikr again. Every dhikr word you do will wipe away the sins in between your last dhikr and this dhikr. There are dhikr words you say after salah, astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah. Don't just get up and move. Take 2 minutes and sit for a little bit. The Prophet ﷺ said, from salah to salah, the minor sins are wiped out. From jumu'ah to jumu'ah, minor sins are wiped out. So what is he telling him? Let's use business words. He's telling him not to work harder, but work smarter. You know when you make money sleeping, because you work smarter, you don't have to do much work. And then there are those who just love to keep exhausting themselves in making money when they have other opportunities to work smarter. Not shiftier, smarter. So why don't you earn rewards from Allah smarter way? And that's what the Prophet ﷺ encouraged. So the man kept on making his dhikr and going away with it, worked smarter, alhamdulillah. And another hadith, Prophet ﷺ was asked, which action is the most beloved to Allah, O Messenger of Allah? Which type of good deed is most beloved to Allah? The Prophet ﷺ replied, that which is most consistent, even if it is a little amount. Even if it is a little amount. Allah loves the actions that you are consistent with. Not the amount, but rather the quality. So the Islamic practices, when they have become too much to handle, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, at least don't leave the obligatory things. Anything on top of the obligatory things, work smarter with it. Like dhikr all the time. The other point from this hadith is the following. He said, give me an act that I can stick with. And he knew that the consistency is more important than the quantity. He also knew that trying to do everything will soon bring him to fatigue and he will get put off. And the Prophet ﷺ taught him a way, what I said, to work smarter, not harder, because he knows that by doing dhikr, there is a fruit that can come out of it. Why did the Prophet ﷺ tell him to do dhikr? We can think of so many other good deeds that are far greater. I can go and tell you, man, go and fight. You know, what are you doing sitting here? Man, go over there and go and do some charity work and give from what you love. What, you're just sitting here? You can go and do more big deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ chose an easy one, which is dhikr. And why did Rasulullah ﷺ? He knows what's better than others. Because dhikr is the key for your heart to grow and for your iman to grow. Because when you're always saying dhikr, what's going to happen to you? It's going to become more likely that you're going to stay away from sins more often. It's going to become more likely that you want to do more good deeds more often. A young man the other day approached me and he said to me, Wallahi, I've been losing myself. And I know that I've been falling into so many issues that Allah is not pleased with me about. And I got myself distracted with this and with that. Until I couldn't sleep at night. I thought to myself, I can't keep going like this. And he said, I started to feel okay with it after that. I started sleeping better. My sins weren't affecting me. And he goes, suddenly I realized after a few months, my heart is dying. What does it mean it was dying? He says, I'm listening to Quran, I'm not getting affected anymore. Going to Salat, I said, no, man, it's not important. Someone says to me, go to the mosque, that's the last place I want to go. I go to the mosque and I don't feel the peace anymore. He says, I started feeling like that. I said, ah, this is a danger. Why is my heart dying out? I don't want this. I'd rather do a sin than my heart to die out, because the one of the worst things that can happen to anybody in this life is when the Quran is recited and the heart doesn't move anymore. When you're reminded of Allah, it makes no effect on you. When repentance and going to the mosque and praying and remembering Allah or anything like that no longer phases you, that's not good. So what do you do about it? You wake up your heart again. You know what he said to me? He said, I went and asked for advice, and the Sheikh told me, get back first and start reading the Quran, even if it's 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. So he went, started reading Quran, 5-10 minutes. He didn't feel anything, but he said, I'm going to keep doing it. Then he started to do his dhikr, you know, la ilaha illallah, every now and then, just whatever he knows, because I didn't feel anything. First day, second day, because I pushed myself to go to the mosque. I pushed myself to pray my prayers. He goes, I did not feel anything. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, 1 week, 2 weeks. Said suddenly, I started feeling my heart opening up. Said, it's not something that you rationally, logically make yourself become, because just do it. And suddenly your heart starts to open up slowly and wakes up and you feel it. Wallah. Says, I started to feel it opening up. Alhamdulillah, I started to like the Quran suddenly. Suddenly my heart started feeling peace at the masjid. It started feeling peace when I remember Allah. Alhamdulillah, it's still awake. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Behold, in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find their peace. You just got to do it over and over. It's like cleansing, cleansing, cleansing. Because Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, when sins are done, the heart gets darker. Like a little notch is sort of poked into it. The more you get that, the darker it becomes. You got to clean it. The more you clean it, the more it awakens. Subhanallah, the brother opened up, alhamdulillah, and he was happy, back on track. He said, but, he said, I started to slip back again. Started to forget. And remember the hadith I just recited to you before? The believer is always tested with these challenging nuisances, these sins that never leave them. Then they overcome them, then they forget. They slip again. He said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought a bigger test for me. Something, I'm not going to give too much information in case anybody knows this person. But another test, Allah. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you reminders. Then He lets you be around somebody who reminds you, a khutbah, a sheikh, a friend who reminds you, a sign to wake you up. Then when nothing wakes you up, He takes away something from you, something small, then something bigger. Ibtila in the Quran is called when abluukum bisharri wal khayri fitna. Allah says, we will constantly repeat the trials upon you, good and bad, but not because we like it, Allah says. Fitna. Fitna means to purify you. It comes from the word of purifying gold. Fatana al-dhahab. When you get gold out of the earth, it's mixed with foreign material. So they put it to heat, they burn it, and they bring out the pure gold from the foreign material. Same with your heart. Allah gives you fitna, tests you and purifies you. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a trial that he knows will wake you up that is so obvious. Maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's an injury, maybe it's some of your property that maybe you have a minor car accident, God forbid. Maybe it's something else that has to wake you up. Then you return again and again until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing on you. So brothers and sisters, this is how it works. One time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up for Fajr and he saw his wife, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Juwayriya radiallahu anha. She got up for Fajr and she prayed and then sat after Fajr in her spot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, spent, and then came back close to Duha or after Duha. Halfway in the day before Dhuhr. So maybe about 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And he saw his wife, Ummul Mu'mineen Juwayriya, exactly where she was sitting where he left her. She had sat there after Fajr making dhikr, 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 dhikr until hours later, the sun came up and so on and so forth, until hours later, maybe 11, 12 o'clock. So he said to her, Ya Juwayriya, O Juwayriya, have you been sitting there in your same spot since I left you? She said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. I've been making dhikr and dua all this time. Now, if you look at that action, you'll say, Allah, mashallah. It's amazing. And truly, it is amazing. But listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, well, you know me, after I left, I said four phrases, three times each. Four words, phrases, three times each. That would equal the reward of everything you said this morning until this point. What are they, Ya Rasulullah? He said, I said, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. عدد خلقه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته, which means transcendent is Allah, how perfect is He, and I praise Him as He praised Himself. That's the first word. Again and again in the number of all his creations, number two, and in the way that pleases him most, as heavy as his throne and as much as the ink needed to write his words, i.e. never-ending words. Once again, glory be to Allah and his praise as he praised himself, to the number of all his creation, and in the way that pleases him most, as heavy as his throne, and as much as the ink needed to write his words, i.e. never-ending words. I actually left one word out in Arabic. وَرِضَاهُ, and what pleases him. So brothers and sisters, four words or four phrases, Rasulullah said, I repeated them each three times, equal a person sitting after Fajr, making dhikr all the way to close to Dhuhr. Why is the Prophet ﷺ telling us that? So that you don't overburden yourself and that there are other ways that you can worship Allah and do it easily. Some people are better at dhikr, some people are better at working. Working? Working to seek money? Yes. Listen to what Allah says in the Quran. In Surah Al-Muzzammil, He says, and I'll just say it in English, He knows that there are among you those who are sick, and other who are journeying in the land in quest of Allah's bounty, those who work to earn halal money and provision, and still others who are fighting in the cause of Allah. So recite as much of the Quran as you easily can, and establish prayer, pay your zakah, and give Allah a goodly loan. Whatever good you send forth for yourselves, you shall find it with Allah. That is better and its reward is greater. And ask for Allah's forgiveness. Surely He is most forgiving, most compassionate. What does this verse mean? In the early years of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca, the companions used to pray with the Prophet, peace be upon him, night prayer. It was compulsory. So the five daily prayers weren't compulsory yet. And then what happened to them is that they lost count of the number of prayers they were praying at night. Some of them got tired, some of them got sick, some of them had business and work to do, so they couldn't stick to nightly prayers every night. So Allah sent down this verse and says, look, Allah knows some of you are sick. Some of you work and need to go out to their business. Some of you are fighting in the cause of Allah. Some of you are standing to protect the community. Others of you are doing other types of work. So recite as much as you can of the Quran easily and donate from what you have and seek Allah's forgiveness. The scholars said this means that the way to get closer to Allah and keep your iman up high and make yourself feel beautiful that you are close to Allah is that worshipping Allah is many varieties. Many things you can do. It's not all salah, it's not all zakah, it's not all Quran, it's not all dhikr. So in this verse, the scholars said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He equaled fighting in the cause of Allah with working to earn halal in order to provide for dependents, for yourself, for your family, for your children. Now, of course, fighting in the cause of Allah is a very high degree, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying when you strive daily to provide for your family so that they're not in need of others, and within the boundaries that Allah set for you, so long as you don't make it your objective, you make it a means, like you work as a means to help you to worship Allah, to help you to provide those in need, to help you to give sadaqah, to help you to give zakat, to help you to help the community by working, then it is equal to working in the cause of Allah. So now you know, brothers and sisters, if you go up in the morning and you work, you're a trader, you're an engineer, you've got a business to run, you need to travel, you need to earn. Just make your intention for the sake of Allah that you want to earn so that you don't need it from other people. You want to earn so that you can look after your parents, your wife, your siblings, your children, the destitute, yourself, and earn it in halal. And inshallah, you are in the path of Allah. Remember the hadith I read to you last time, which is in Bukhari, in Muslim, where a man came and he was working so hard and sweating and he had dust all over him. And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, if only he used this body in the path of Allah. Then he said, if he is seeking his sustenance to look after elderly parents who need him, then it is in the path of Allah. If he's got children who are dependent on him, he's working to feed them, then it is in the path of Allah. If he's single and he's working in order to get married so that he doesn't resort to destitution and haram and so on and so forth, and he wants to live a life of goodness which pleases Allah by getting married, then it is in the path of Allah. He said, but if he is doing it in the path of the shaitan, if he's doing it in order to show off or for fame or for reputation or superiority complex and so on, he says, then it's in the path of the shaitan. You see, brothers and sisters, there are many avenues of worshipping Allah and continuing with your iman and not exhaust yourself. One day, Rasulullah ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma, he said to him, Ya Abdullah, come here. Don't be like so-and-so. He used to pray night prayers and now he doesn't do it anymore. Why did he say that to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was over-exhausting himself with worship. He was doing night prayers. He was fasting one day on one day off. He was donating all his money. He was doing too much. So Rasulullah said, Ya Abdullah, don't be like so-and-so. He committed to night prayer, now he doesn't do it. Meaning, do less, but be consistent. Don't do more and then give up. Don't start something where you're going to fail and then go back. Don't be extreme in what you're doing to yourself. Take it step by step. So my brothers and sisters, this is what we are talking about in our religious roller coaster. Up and down, follow the consistency rather than the quantity. Remember to repent to Allah consistently, so long as you are not comfortable with the sins that you are stricken with and tested with, inshallah, try to increase in your good deeds so that you can keep yourself above the water. Repent constantly, even if it's 100, 1,000 times over. And inshallah ta'ala, you will be consistent on iman. And inshallah, like that Bedouin said, I will not do any extra. He will enter paradise, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, whoever does more, well, they're deserving of more from Allah. Not everybody is at the same rank. And Allah will reward everybody fairly as they're deserved and the sacrifices that they made, my dear brothers and sisters. There was one more. The reason I mentioned that hadith about working and doing other things is that actually it was a question. A man who was a doctor, he asked me that at work, sometimes he finds it very hard to pray his prayers. So sometimes it's operating or doing something for a patient. And he can't keep his 5 daily prayers in time. So he says, I'm about to give up. So we quoted this verse from Surah Al-Muzammil, that there are people among you who work and do other things for their sustenance, and they can't catch up with all the extra acts of worship. And sometimes they even miss out on some of their obligations. And the answer to that is, try your best to do your obligations on time, and then if an obligation you couldn't do it at all, then every now and then you can use the concession of joining a prayer or two together. Now, this is not something regular. You have to try your best to do your obligations. As for extra to that, then it's okay. Your work, he's a doctor, he's operating, you're fixing, or you're an electrician, or you're whatever you are, and your work is taking a lot of your time during the day, and you would have rather been at the mosque, you would have rather been praying more extra prayers, you'd rather be learning your Quran, and rather reading more about your deen. The answer to that, brothers and sisters, is if your intention is to provide your family with sustenance and you are doing it to be a stronger Muslim, then inshallah, you are doing the same as you going home and reading Quran and so on and so forth. And then every day at home, choose about 5 minutes, read a few verses from the Quran. Every now and then, while you're at work, you got a little break, say dhikr whenever you're not talking to someone. Say la ilaha illallah 100 times. It takes exactly 2 minutes. 2 minutes, wallahi. Keep these things happening in your spare time and work smarter, not harder. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep us all on the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the shaitan away from his obsessive whispers in our heads. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to help us to keep our hearts clean and keep us away from indecency and impurity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless, reward, and help and protect our brothers and sisters in Palestine and everywhere around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift the oppression and return the believers to his deen, a strong return. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided and forgive our shortcomings. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.